This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is an articulate spokesman in the media and before legislative committees on conservative and pro-family issues, and was named one of the 100 most important women of the century by the Ladies Home Journal. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The Obama administration has taken over major parts of our economy, so now the bureaucrats are eager to take over what public schools teach our children. Former school teacher and author Orlean Kerla explains their current goal, why you should be concerned, and what you can do about it. Her new book is called Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform. This national takeover of school curriculum was cleverly named Common Core State Standard Initiative, so it sounds as if it were developed by the states. But that's not true. It was developed by trade groups and corporate interests that will make a lot of money from its implementation. The Obama administration induced 46 states to give up local control of their English and math curricula through a clever carrot-and-stick method, a combination of bribery, waivers for the hated No Child Left Behind Act, and threats to cut off future federal grants. Left out of the development of this new curriculum were parents, local and state school boards, and state legislatures. The price tag to adopt Common Core standards is enormous. It's also important to note that Common Core standards will not make kids any smarter. The math standards are so substandard that the only real mathematician on the validation committee refused to approve them. He said that Common Core standards are 2 years behind international expectations by the eighth grade and then fall further behind in grades 8 to 12. The math standards downgrade the years when algebra and geometry are to be taught. The name of this very useful book is Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform, and the author is Orlean Kerla. Parents, go to Eagle Forum's website, eagleforum.org, for more information about Common Core.
College students, you're invited to the 20th Annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit on July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. Get equipped to combat the liberal ideologies of multiculturalism, diversity, and feminism on your campus. Network with conservative leaders. Register in advance, and the conference is free. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Hello, friends. It is Monday, September 23rd, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks. And this is Deanna Spingola. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. On Thursday, September 20th, 2013, Werner Bach, a Canadian cattle rancher, was arrested in court for refusing to submit to a psychiatric evaluation. He was in court facing two counts of allegedly failing to provide proper food and water to his animals during the spring of 2011. Werner and his ranch and cattle have been under attack by an unknown entity for at least the last 11 years, during which that unknown entity has mutilated and killed over 250 cows at his ranch in New Brunswick, Canada. He has also been subjected to arson attacks on his property. He has tried to get investigations into the attacks by calling the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, contacting government authorities at every level of Canadian government, and has met with incompetence, neglect, buck passing, and outright abuse in response. During his own investigation into the crimes, he noticed strange burn marks on the noses and elsewhere on his cattle. He also noticed unusual damage to the plant life in his pastures. Mr. Bach has come to the conclusion that a type of directed energy weapon has been used against his cattle, his pets, and himself. It is unknown what type of weapon has been used, whether it is a laser or microwave energy weapon or some other type, but it is obvious that burn marks have been inflicted on his cattle from quite a distance. Darren Weeks suggested a possible reason why Werner was targeted is that he is living in a protected area. On Monday, September 23rd, today, Werner is scheduled to appear in court again in Moncton. It also happens to be his birthday. Please call the Moncton, New Brunswick Law Courts, and let me give you the telephone number. That is 506-856-2307, and inquire about Werner's case and his well-being, and tell them to wish him a happy birthday. We will set up a PayPal account. Marcus, a regular listener, has already sent a donation, for which we thank him. All righty, if there's something that you can do to help, please email Wayne in Canada at through his website, or email me, Deanna@Spingola.com, or comment@Spingola.com. We will take calls in the second hour when I open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. Welcome to the program, Carl. Is Carl with us? Oh, okay. Do you want to call him back? All righty. As I was talking about, friends of Werner Bach are appealing to anyone in New Brunswick who can offer to help with legal assistance, to those in the alternative media to try and determine his location and visit him, interview him, or to report on this case. So if you know of anybody that can do this, that can help, please, please let us know. And also, call the court today. That number again is 506-856-2307. And inquire about Werner's case and be sure to tell them to wish him a happy birthday. We need to let him know that we are behind him, that we know where he's at, and that we are worried about him. And I'm sure that all of the listeners to this program know who Werner is. He calls in often, regularly on this program. And I'm sure on other RBN programs also. He's a very devoted listener. All righty, do we have Carl on the phone yet? He's not answering the phone. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me just text him. I did send him an email reminder. There we go. Okay, I just sent him a reminder. Okay, he's ready. So, man, if you want to call him back, he said he's ready. Oh, goodness. This is all very, very interesting. Very sad about Werner. I'm just worried sick about him. He's by himself up there. And so anyway, I did send Carl a message. Do we have Carl with us? Okay, he said that he was just checking to see if he'd gotten the day wrong or something. Hey, so I asked him if he was ready, and he said, okay, so maybe you could give him a call now. I'm not sure. I send out to all of my guests 2 days before the program, I send an email reminder with all of the commercial breaks and how we're going to call him, how long, you know, just everything, so that, anyway, but sometimes people don't always answer their email or look at their email. I know there are days that's about the last thing that I can get done is answer email. Okay, do we have him yet? Okay, well, if we don't happen to get Carl on the phone, I hope we do. But if you would like to call in and talk about Werner or anything that is relevant before we get Carl on the phone, that would be fine. We will take your calls because this situation with Werner is very disturbing. It is amazing. And I know that there has been a lot of things that has happened to him that he has not readily talked about. And he's a very fine, good-hearted man. And certainly this bogus charge of him not feeding his animals in the spring of 2011 is absolutely ridiculous. Werner has all kinds of wonderful education and background for farming and has been doing organic farming. And so it's a terrible situation. Anyway, okay. RBN is having a little bit of problem with Carl's Skype. We will get it fixed. I know that we can text him via Skype, but anyway, we are still attempting to get a hold of Carl. But anyway, Werner has had all kinds of experience. He actually went to Canada at the invitation of the Canadian government. And it's very interesting. Uncle Rick in our chat room said, why did Canada insist it had to be immigrants who purchased and saved this land? Because apparently the local government in 1969 in Canada encouraged immigrant farmers to take over non-productive farmland so it wouldn't return to forested growth. And this is what Uncle Rick says. I think that Werner was duped by the Canadian government decades ago into restoring the land he purchased, and that the plan from the very beginning was to toss him out after he'd done the job. More than likely, many other immigrants are being treated the same way, all stemming from that program to have immigrants purchase distressed farmland. It makes sense because immigrants can be so easily vilified and demonized in the view of the public and so can be easily mistreated Why did it have to be immigrants who purchased this distressed farmland? Now, that's a very interesting question, and I hope that that we can figure out how to help him. And if other farmers in Canada are having the same situation, please let us know. And we need to make this an issue. Everybody needs to be involved, because if you own land anywhere, whether you live in Canada or the United States, if they can do it to Werner, they can do it to anybody. They can come in and take what you have worked on and purchased, okay? So let's support Werner in this. Well, okay, we'll be right back, hopefully with Carl, in about 3 minutes.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we are still having trouble connecting with our guest today, but we do have a caller. Let's take Irene in California. Irene, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to say some things for Werner. I thought he was out of jail. I got your email, and I even sent it back, and I said thank you for the info. But this poor guy, it's been more than 11 years where he's been harassed and gassed and, you know, electric, magnetic, you know, burning of the cows and himself, too. He has to duck every day. He has to take coffee where he's diluted it with a lot of milk because of the gassing. He could jump on his tractor, be out there working, and then you know, he gets to a certain spot and a gas floats over and it's burning his lungs. And he drinks the coffee with the milk in it in to help the phlegm to him to cough it out. And this poor guy, he, you know, this has been happening over 35 years. He could not even get married, you know, and he had to be really careful who came over his house, like family, and he would just tell them, don't come over, you know, and this guy is all by himself. And then he had a friend that was running from what was going on in, I think it was one of the islands, Staten Island, and she was, you know, what do you call it, activist against the elderly and, you know, what they were taking away from them in the courts and all that kind of, you know, nonsense. And so she ran, she came over the border and she ran over and she stayed with him. She was gassed and died. She had a heart attack. She died in his arms.
Yes. You know, was that Marianne?
That was Marianne, and he told her, you can't stay in this spot, you can't sleep over here, you can't stand over here. I mean, it's, this is ridiculous. They, you know,
right, I think that we just don't know the extent of everything, and I'm sure that it's because Werner just really is not a complainer, and has just, had
right.
this burden by himself, except when he made the videos, and those have been just of recent, you know, recently compared to the length of time that he has been suffering with this situation. But I do thank you so much, Irene, for your phone call.
Yeah.
So take care. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. And be sure and call that number, 506-856-2307. That's the court number, and, tell them that you wish him a happy birthday. We need to let them know that he has friends, that he's not by himself. All righty, we do have Carl. Carl, welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Slight technical issue.
Okay. I'm not sure what happened, but hopefully all the technical...
No. neither me or the technical people are either.
Okay,
something
so
to
today...
do with call mode, anyway.
You have a very interesting subject for us, as always, and I'm sure you probably heard a little bit about what's going on up in Canada with our friend up there, and he's called in when you've been on the program before, Werner, in New Brunswick?
Anytime.
Yes. Well, he's in quite a predicament. At the authorities put him there.
Yeah. Wow. It's just that is unfortunately how Canada is. Canada
yes.
is only second to Germany in many ways in what it does to people who speak the truth.
You know, you're right, actually, yes. Of course you're right. Look what they did to Ernst Sundell and so many other people, and certainly Canada works in tandem with the United States, and we're able to get Ernst deported to Germany, where he still languishes. So anyway, you're going to talk today about Stalin and the Jews.
Mm-hmm. And Stalin's an interesting topic in to do with the Jews, because he is the classic example that historians tend to draw out and say, ah, yes, communists, totalitarian states are anti-Semitic. The fact is that very few Stalins, very few historians other than Stalin, actually believe that Stalin was actually anti-Semitic at all. The one people who tend to advocate the fact he was are what we might call those who believe in a totalitarian comparison. In other words, those people who like to claim that governments which are not, shall we say, in quotes, democracies, whatever that's supposed to mean these days, are by nature repressive, they are, you know, against the will of the people, and so forth. The classic comparison, of course, is the Third Reich and Stalin. The fact is that the two, the comparison itself is false, because it's like comparing an Oriental despot to a kingdom. To a kingdom in the European sense. They don't function the same way. And one of the primary ways you can see that is in the fact that in the case of an Oriental despotism, as Eric Wildvogel called it, the entire state machinery does exactly what the despot wants it to do. And that's exactly how the mechanism worked with Stalin. Whereas compared to Hitler, he had a popular mandate, and unlike Stalin, he was elected, and he also had plebiscites, and his bureaucracy and could and did oppose him at times, and didn't necessarily take his side on every single issue. The first thing that needs to be pointed out about Stalin is that there is a long-standing claim that he was Jewish. This is, as far as anyone can work out, dates from 1934, not earlier, as if you look at the earlier work that mentioned Stalin, for example, Robert Wilson, he's always listed as a Georgian or a Russian. He's never listed as Jewish. That he started to be listed as Jewish was about in 1934 when a Ukrainian expat in, I think it was France, started this legend that Zhugashvili, Stalin's original surname, means son of a Jew in Georgian. Zhuga or Zhuga actually means something equivalent to herd, stone, or iron, depending on how you want to interpret it, or it can be interpreted as a geographic location. The Jew for Georgian, the Jew in Georgian, is simply Ibreli or Uraya, not Zhuga or Zhuga. Stalin himself was very like his father, Stalin, and those witnesses we have from his early period of life tell us that Stalin is pretty much the mirror image of a Stalin in his behavior as well as how he looked. And there's a lot of myths surrounding who Stalin's, in quotes, Jewish father could be, but if you look at them, like David Papismidov and so forth, they tend to be completely fabricated, and there's no actual evidence for them other than, oh, someone somewhere once said that they look similar, or that kind of thing. And to give you an idea of just how silly some of these myths are, one of them, and I can't remember the name of the chap, was actually attributed to a guy who was supposedly a Jewish noble. In Russia, in reality, he was actually Russian. He was homosexual, so why what he was doing seducing Stalin's mother, I don't know. And he was in Siberia during the time that Stalin was allegedly conceived. And that's by itself. So, again, you can see it very quickly. The myth sort of falls apart because there is no actual evidence, and just about everyone has abandoned that position.
But he did marry Jewish women.
Yes, he did. And okay. Stalin was a bit of a, shall we say, a womanizer in his youth. It's not well known about him, but he was in his Bolshevik days, pre-party, he was a serious womanizer, to the extent that it was frequently commented on at meetings because Stalin had a tendency to get 13-year-old girls pregnant.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, well, he was a fairly decent-looking young man, and I'm sure that he exploited those looks. All righty, we do have a quick 4-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. Right before the break, you were talking about Stalin being a womanizer, and I know that he married his first wife seemed to be his favorite wife, but she passed away, and anyway, please continue.
Yeah, she was one he met young too.
Yeah. Yes. I can't imagine him being a sensitive, loving husband.
Stalin was a poet as well.
Really?
It's a strange thing to say, but he was a poet, as I say, something of a ladies' man for a good part of his, part of his early Bolshevik years, really. It's not something uncommon among the Bolsheviks. I mean, Lenin famously had several mistresses, Trotsky had several, and Stalin had even more. So, is not exactly, as I say, unprecedented among the Bolsheviks.
Right, okay. Yeah, that trait does seem to run in that.
Well, as I say, they were sexual. One of Stalin's cronies, who was a Georgian aristocrat, whose name I forget, he was so notorious a womanizer that in Baku in 1909, I think it was, it was a legend that he was responsible for all the pregnancies of that year.
Oh, my goodness.
In a city. That, That gives you some idea of just how much Bolsheviks, as a rule, were viewed and how sexually libertine they were. And it gives you some idea that the idea of the they called it the Sovietization of women was not, as commonly stated, a total myth. It had a ring of truth to it.
Huh. And did it also maybe influence the way that the Red Army treated the women that they supposedly liberated? I mean, rape was pandemic.
It's hard to even describe what they did. In every country they visited, it wasn't just in the wake of World War II. The Red Army was very similar when the Red Army went anywhere.
Right.
And it was a case that every country they invaded, it was a very similar scenario. Mass rape was common, killings, and so forth. It was just literally, it was almost like a whirlwind of criminality would follow the Red Army. And just so we're aware of the Red Army's composition, which is something I was going to cover later, but no problem, I can cover it now. In the Red Army, as of 1929, only 2.09% of the total members, i.e. significantly underrepresented, were Jewish. That's with a general population of around 3% at the time, between 2 and 3%. So it's about right. But 8.62% of all the commissars were Jewish in the Red Army, 4.2% of all the junior officers, 3.44% of all the senior officers, and yet only 1.78% of the actual troops and 1.61% of the NCOs. And as Benjamin Pinkus, who is a noted Jewish authority on the Soviet government and the Jews, says in his, again, the Soviet government and the Jews, 1948-1967, between 1939 and 1941, the proportion, a very high proportion of Soviet senior officers were Jewish. So much so that in 1943, Stalin had to introduce measures to de-Judaize the Red Army command. To do so, he, like with a couple of Communist Party in 1920s and 1930s, promoted an affirmative action program for non-Jewish officers in order to get them up and to split this kind of block of Jewish officers that he was facing. He was promoting this kind of, he would give them preference for promotion over any Jewish officers. And that gives you some idea of just how much the Red Army was dominated by Jews and how underrepresented the Jews were among the rank and file of the Red Army, but yet were massively overrepresented among the commissars, the political class, and the senior officers, as well as the junior officers. Which, when you look for people who can be said to be responsible for the mass rapes that the Red Army conducted, It is no surprise that we go straight to the door of the Jews again.
Indeed, because that's where the directions were coming from was these leadership positions. Holy cow!
It's worth pointing out that a lot of the statistics that are put out by people like Benjamin Pinkus, he's big one of the major sources against the quotes, what we may call the Judeo-Bolshevism thesis, is that he tends to use statistics which play down the Jewish scale. For example, instead of using the percentage of communists who were Jews and then looking back to see what the percentage of the Jews were in the population to see what the mismatch was, he would say the number of Jewish communists per population or another measure of some kind to make it look like he's saying the same thing, but he's not. And he deliberately does that because he wants to show that Stalin victimized the Jews specifically.
Ah, okay. Of course.
And it's a common counter-argument anyway. But Stalin's ruthlessness, which is reflected in the Red Army, comes from when he was a gang boss, effectively. And it's how, for example, one scholar, Vadim Berstein, who is himself Jewish, has pointed out that's how we need to understand Stalin in some respects. He was a gangster, a gang leader of a kind of an Oriental despot, rather than a kind of rational ruler, as you might call a kind of reasonable political person. But that said, Stalin was in many respects, a very rational man when you account for the fact of how he thought politically. And that's, in many respects, one of the greatest kept secrets in the study of Marxism and the Soviet Union in particular, is that many scholars regard Stalin as being the logical exponent of Leninism. So people often say, you hear leftists say, yes, but Lenin was wonderful. Lenin did this, Lenin did that. Trotsky did this, Trotsky did that. In reality, both of those individuals, their ideology was the same as Stalin's. Just that Stalin had a far more opportunity to actually implement it when compared to Trotsky. And in the case of Lenin, it was a case of Lenin was much more of what we may call a practical communist, whereas Stalin was an ideological purist, although very much a pragmatist still. And a good example of that is the fact that Lenin abandoned war communism, and Stalin was always critical of this. To Lenin's mind, he needed to abandon this in order to take on the new economic policy, or NEP, in the early 1920s, because he couldn't fight the Russian Civil War. And both Trotsky and Stalin opposed this, because both of them were hardline Marxists, and they truly believed in what they said. And you can see this in Trotsky's own radicalism, because he always argued against the NEP, whereas Stalin immediately began denationalizing and collectivizing the minute he got into power in 1927. And we can see this kind of strong belief in the fact that Stalin spent time in a seminary, and his mother was a strongly religious woman, and he had a very purist conception of Marxist beliefs, and that his ideology could explain everything. And the way we need to understand this is that Marxism is largely Marxism as we understand it, as we see it, as proposed by the left historically and currently, is largely derived not from Karl Marx or the kind of 10-20 works of Marx and Marx and Engels, but from one of the works, not those 20, just one, and that's Anti-During, or as its formal title is, Herr During's Revolution in Science. It's that book which is cited far more than any other work in the entire Marxist-Leninist canon, which forms the basis for Stalin's own views. And Engels in it argued that Marxism was like Darwinism. It could explain the world, and it would explain the world, and thus, as a scientific philosophy, it would find just for it, it could understand the world in a way that was in itself scientific, so it could be applied to other areas of scientific study, as Marxists tend to view economics as scientific, for whatever reason. But there you go. And it's very easily shown by the fact that Stalin was a big supporter of two completely unjustifiable theories in his lifetime. One was Trofimnesenko's Lamarckian biology, which is basically a denial of Darwin. It basically applies a class or environmental economic factors as being key to the understanding of organisms. And that's clearly lunacy, but yet it was a key plank of Stalin's own belief system.
Indeed. All righty. Yes. Could you repeat the title of that book? Was that The Jews of Soviet Russia?
The Soviet Government and the Jews, 1948-1967,
a documentary study. Got it. All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000 during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, where you will find so many wonderful, wonderful articles. And be sure and get on the mailing list. Great, great articles. Just love Carl's work. Okay.
Thank you, Deanna. I was going to say, in terms of Benjamin Pinker, there is another book he wrote, which is less concentrated on the later period, but contains a lot more general information, which is The Jews of the Soviet Union, A History of a National Minority, which, again, is published by Cambridge University Press and was published in 1988, I think.
Okay.
Another of these theories that Stalin supported, which were completely unjustifiable, was a man called, unappropriately, Wilhelm Marr, as in the great anti-Semite, but also a Soviet theoretician of linguistics, who argued for what they call the class character of linguistics. Basically, he argued that linguistics had a certain class character and could be worked out back from understanding this class character when it was defined. And this, according to any linguist at the time, was a stupid idea, as we can regard as such. But yet Stalin adhered to it, and again, like with Lysenko, he actively persecuted and kicked out anyone who disagreed with them. And that they were both nonsense is well known among academia, but yet it is not commonly known that Stalin was a bit of a crank, in that he believed very stupid ideas because they fitted his, shall we say, worldview. His Marxism, he believed his Marxism could explain everything, therefore he began to apply it to other things, and he insisted with his power that everyone else believed it too.
Wow.
And in some respects, it's this ideological purism that Stalin adheres to in his work, which we see, for example, in the fact that he believes very strongly that the idea of that everything that is not revolutionary is a social construct. So Stalin engages in some very contradictory behavior superficially. He, for example, he's a staunch anti-religionist. He, of course, founded and promoted the League of Militant Atheists and blew up churches and persecuted clergy, shot clergy quite often. But yet, Stalin, in the Second World War, came out and started promoting religion. And yet, he also began promoting Russian nationalism after having suppressed it for years. In much the same way, during the Second World War, Stalin changed another of his policies regarding the Jews. Stalin had at this time gone after Zionism in a big way in Russia. He was a big, big foe of Zionism in Russia and had been since the early 1920s. And yet, in the Second World War, he stopped his persecution of Zionism. He immediately resumed it after World War II, but he stopped it because he needed the support. And he mouthed platitudes in relation to his ideas about Birobidzhan, his own Zionist homeland. An idea that I'm sure, as your readers will know, has recently been again tabled by Vladimir Putin for some bizarre reason that no one can quite work out, but
some of his activities lately are very questionable, but that's probably another story.
It is. It's a very other story, I think. But this ideological purism is what, in many respects, allows us to understand that Stalin was in no way anti-Semitic. Because to argue that Stalin was anti-Semitic is to completely take him out of his Marxism. Because Stalin regarded religion as being the opium of the masses. So he encouraged anti-religious activities. But yet, between... in 1926, there were 1,103 synagogues open in the USSR. And remember, this is in the middle of the Soviet war against the churches. There are one, and it's a huge number. But yet, and even 1945, in the chaos after the Second World War, there is still 500 synagogues. And this is, we have to remember that most of the synagogues were in the West. They were where the fighting was. That gives you some idea. And by the time in 1953, when Stalin had unleashed his what sometimes is called his anti-Semitic pogrom, which in reality wasn't anything like that, there were only 100, which was when his war against the Jewish religion had been going on for some time. But in 1959, under Khrushchev, this had again risen to 450. It gives an idea of Stalin's ideological purist pragmatism, of wanting to destroy religion, as a good atheist that he was, but seeing it as a social construct, to be supported sometimes and attacked at other times, and if it benefited his perception of the needs of the people of the USSR and the needs of his socialism. And the fact that Stalin attacks so many Jews and that so many Jews are killed by Stalin is often used to explain, to say, he was anti-Semitic. Well, no. The reason Stalin killed so many Jews is the simplest one possible, because there were so many to kill, and they were in exactly the wrong position to be in Stalin's Russia. In other words, during the 1920s and the pre-revolutionary war movement, the Bolsheviks had been an extremely Jewish group. So much so that they were popularly associated in just about every country, including Russia, with being Jewish. And their policies often reflected that. They wouldn't, for example, in Lithuania, in 1940, they invaded Lithuania. They refused point blank to put Jewish communists, of which, by the way, over 50% of the Lithuanian Communist Party was composed, including quite a lot of its leadership. They refused to put them on the poll in the famine because the people refused to say, to them, Bolshevism was Jewish, and they had to put Gentiles on the stand because otherwise there would be a riot, effectively. And this was very much true for Stalin's era. For example, Karl Schlogel in his Moscow 1934, published quite recently, Moscow 1937, says quite bluntly on page 278, if memory serves, that in 1937, in Moscow, Stalin commissioned a survey of anti-Jewish attitudes, and he discovered that just about every single worker in Moscow hated the Jews and believed the Bolshevik Party was run by Jews, and that Stalin was run, and that Stalin was being controlled by Jews, because so many of Stalin's servants, if you will, were Jewish, and so many of the major Bolshevik figures in the early period were Jewish. And to give you some idea of just how the scale of this, it's worth, you know, to understand that particular point, is that in 1959, they were still massively represented in Russia, and that they still only had an intermarriage rate of 35.6% in Russia, which is tiny compared, considering the state. This is a state that promotes inter-ethnic marriage, if you like, and 0.9%, which is in Moldova, when Moldova had a very, very large Jewish population comparatively to its size. And for example, in 1955, the Jews represented 11% of all the scientists in the USSR, which had only fallen to 8% in 1965. And 8% is still 7 times the rate of representation when compared to the Russians in the USSR, and 14 times that of Ukrainians. By way of comparison, in 1936-1964, Jews represented at a rate of 134 economic specialists per 1,000 population, whereas Russians are represented by 21.4, and Georgians by 36.8, and Ukrainians by 16.3. So you can get some idea of the scale of this involvement, and yet in 1929, you find that only 7.89% of the Jewish population of the USSR were classified as industrial workers. Now, that might seem to be quite a high number to some people, but yet consider that 87% of all Jews in the USSR in 1939, for example, lived in urban areas. 1.06% of them were agricultural workers. 1.1% of them worked on the railways. 38.42% of them were craftsmen. Of over half of them were involved in leatherworking, which, if anyone knows American history, will know that many Jews were also involved in New York.
Yeah, exactly, with Astor and all of his all of his shenanigans. All righty, we are going to the top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour, so stay tuned.